This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And before we get to our guests, Steve Carter and Dan Clater, today is Giving Tuesday, a global generosity movement unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform communities in the world. So give back today by supporting nonprofit organizations that matter to you. And this is a chance to support WRKF. Morning Edition, by the way, just celebrated its 40th anniversary a few days ago. We had Bob Edwards on this show, and WRKF will reach the same milestone on January 18th of next year, as in next month. And you can commemorate both occasions when you choose to receive the orange WRKF and Morning Edition 40th anniversary mug as your thank you gift for your year-end gift of $150 or more. Call 855-893-9753 or donate online at WRKF.org. And our number is 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And both of these gentlemen in studio, Representative Carter and Senator Clater, are leaving office next month. And the day that the new legislature takes office is January 13th, which coincides with the NCAA football championship game at the Superdome. And Steve Carter, former associate athletic director at Louisiana State University, looks like the Tigers have a pretty good shot of being there.
Well, yes, but still they have a little bit. They can't assume that they're going to make it because they've got a tough road to hoe still, in my opinion. If they don't stay tonight, become number one. If they stay at two, they're going to end up playing Clemson, and Clemson's going to be laying a, I think. So it'll be interesting. But they I tell you what, if they play like they did against A&M, I don't know if anybody can beat them. That was a great game.
They've had a magical season. And as you know, when Nick Saban arrived in 2000, LSU had had 8 losing seasons in 11 years. And it's amazing what's happened in the last couple of decades.
Right. It's interesting.
It is indeed. And LSU will play in Georgia, against the University of Georgia in Atlanta this Saturday, SEC championship game. LSU is a 7.5-point favorite, and Senator Clater, your district that you are soon departing represents LSU, and you, 8 years ago, LSU was on the brink of a championship and lost in New Orleans to Alabama 21-0. I'm sure you remember that game with some disappointment.
I have the amazing ability to forget the stuff that is disappointing, so that's a faint memory. The current memory I have is Coach Saban with tears in his eyes.
In 2003 or when LSU won the national title or last Saturday?
Last Saturday, complaining about an unfair play.
Well, I know a lot of people were more excited about Alabama losing than LSU winning, and the Saban hate continues. But I have a feeling he'll be back, and he'll be back in Tiger Stadium next year. I was thinking when you gentlemen took office, it was in January of 08. You came in class of 2007, both elected, and LSU, I think a week before you took office, won the 2007 championship in January of 08 against Ohio State in the Superdome.
That's true for Steve, but not true for me. The seat at that time was Senator Cassidy. I came in on a special.
Special? So you were not allowed to run for a third full term?
That's an interesting question that I could have, and that it was the legislature that wrote that bill. It wasn't in the Constitution. I could have challenged that if I wanted to.
Cleo Fields challenged it, remember, and lost years ago.
Well, it could be challenged, but I think it would violate the idea of term limits and what the people wanted. So.
Okay. Well, but you are leaving, and Steve Carter, as we know, ran for your seat, and you talk about a close one. If he had been in a runoff, there's very little doubt he would have won, and he missed the runoff by 4 votes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And when you lose one like that, Representative Carter, I think it's more painful than when you lose by 4,000 votes.
Well, not necessarily. Except for when people bring up the fact, which has happened 2 or 3 times, I forgot to go to the polls and vote, and I was going to vote for you. I'm thinking, why bring it up? I said, it's over with. You can't worry about that. But no, Franklin's a dear friend and will do an unbelievable job. He's a great guy, and I'm proud of him. And, you know, in life, I'm fairly old, and it's time to move on and have another chapter in my life. I enjoyed what I was doing. Dan was great. We worked close together. And it's an interesting profession, if you want to call it a profession. But it's time to move on, and I am, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter, and we'll have fun because I've always had fun in my life.
Well, you've done varied things in your life. You moved from an athletic career to a political career. You beat Kyle Ardoin in a close one, 87 votes to get to the show. What's next?
I don't know yet. It's too early to say, but I tell you, there's some things I have on my mind that I'd like to discuss with people that are far smarter than me. I mean, one of the things that frustrates me about the state is that, you know, we don't have any Fortune 500 companies here. And you want to know why? I mean, what's wrong? And I'd like to put a group of people together and sit down. If you bring a guy like a Stephen Morey, who I had an awful lot of respect for, who's now in Virginia, who's doing a marvelous job, and some other very bright people, and say, look, what's it going to take? I know that they'll talk about infrastructure. I know they'll talk about education. But I think we need some tax reform. And I think there's some things we need to do to bring some medium companies to our state and allow them to grow into becoming Fortune 500 companies. These are things that I enjoy talking about. And I don't know whether or not I'll do something like that, but it's just fun to talk about.
Well, being a lawmaker is a full-time job. You get what amounts to part-time pay, but it's a full-time job as a state lawmaker. And are you going to miss all this?
Well, sure. I mean, I enjoyed helping people. My passion was education, and I enjoyed trying to improve the educational system. I think John White is unbelievable, and I love working with John White. I'll never forget on this show, John Bell, when you ask him, you know, what about John White? And he said he wasn't, you know, prepared to be an eighth grade math teacher. And that was interesting. And so sure, Dan will miss it too. Dan was great. He got into it, in fact, probably more than I did, you know, as far as into the weeds and what have you. But, you know, my passion was infrastructure. My passion is helping people. My passion was trying to make the state better. And my passion was attempting to try to improve the quality of life of the youngsters of our state through education so they can have a great life like I've had. I've had a great life.
Are you going to miss it, Senator Claytor?
Sure. You know, I think Steve and I are kind of sort of like old racehorses in that we'll be in the pasture and we'll hear the bell and we'll jump and want to run, but we'll have to focus our attention elsewhere. Steve's got an idea where he wants to go, and I'm looking forward to getting back to my law practice, and that my law practice suffered while I was in the legislature, and I'm not complaining about that. I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. I was able to do a lot of good for folks working with Steve and other folks in the legislature. But it's somebody else's turn. You know, it's term limits. Somebody else's turn. Move on.
There are stories you might consider running for attorney general.
Sure. I mean, I'm not that old. I'm not that young. But I'm a 30-plus year lawyer. Members of the Senate, at least, I can't say for the House, when we would have legal issues, we would talk about them and consider some of the things that were going on. So that would be a privilege to be the lawyer for the state of Louisiana. But who knows where things will be 4 years from now.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we're going to have a very conservative legislature and a governor that is not as conservative, who belongs to the Democratic Party, Steve Carter. Is there a collision that's coming that's going to be very difficult to resolve, or can these people work together?
Well, we had a collision last time. Dan was in a little bit better shape in the Senate than we were working with, you know, John Bell in the House. The House was divided. I'm not saying the House was wrong. I'm not saying what they were doing was wrong. But it was tough because you were treading water. You were not doing the things, in my opinion, that were in the interest of the people of the state. And the frustrating thing about it is Dan and I'm speaking for Dan and me, I have a vision for where I think we need to go. And I'm not sure where we're going right now. I'm not sure. I just got back from Mississippi, And I drove from Louisiana to Mississippi. And we always talk about Mississippi being, you know, the stepchild to us. But you think, I mean, if you look at their roads, and there was clean, they had cleanliness when you go from Louisiana to Mississippi, there was not the litter that we have here. And it frustrates me with that. And it goes back to education, in my opinion. But my point in saying, in answer to your question, is we need direction. We need guidance. We need a vision. We need to decide where we're going to go. I remember 25 or 30 years ago, the governor of North Carolina decided they were going to have the very best college system in the country. And look at them. I mean, they've got the Golden Triangle up there, and they've got everything going. And it's because the guy decided this is where we're going to go, and they did it. So okay. That's my frustration.
Well, we'll get Senator Claytor's view on what the vision of the state should be when we return. And again, if you'd like to chime in with these two distinguished lawmakers, we'll soon be leaving the Capitol. 877-217-5757. We're back in 90 seconds with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle producing. And a reminder that this is Giving Tuesday. And when you give your year-end contribution, you also have the opportunity to help expand local news reporting in 2020. The WRKF and WWNO News Collaborative received a challenge grant from Report for America in the amount of $40,000 to help fund salaries of two reporters. So please consider giving a one-time additional gift to help meet that challenge. You can go to WRKF.org for more information about the grant. And again, to make a contribution of any amount that will be appreciated, 855-893-9753. Dan Claytor, Steve Carter says, we've got a problem with vision. I remember George Bush, the first George Bush who was president, said he didn't get the vision thing. What should the vision of the state be?
Well, I mean, that's a huge question that goes into a lot of different areas. The question a little bit earlier was, how was the legislature going to work with the governor under those circumstances? And Steve kind of implied the Senate traditionally works a little bit more with the governor, and there's a lot of discussion about how independent will the Senate be or not be. It looks as though Senator Paige Cortez is going to be the Senate president. That's what the paper reports. I think that he'll be a good person to handle that position. He's not the furthest right one in there, and he's certainly not the furthest left. He's a history teacher and a football coach, and so I think he appreciates history, and he knows how to coach a team. So I think that we'll have some good rapport there. I think most of the folks that get elected understand that they're elected to do something, not just to be obstructionist on every single issue. But as far as the, quote, vision thing, Steve's correct as far as why don't we have bigger businesses here? Why don't we have Fortune 500 businesses here? Is it the infrastructure? I think we would all agree, yeah, that's a big part of it. If you can't get over the bridge from Texas mm-hmm. to Louisiana, if you can't get a – if – the ICE Truckers series says that the scariest thing that these guys have ever done is cross the Mississippi River Bridge at 5 o'clock traffic. We've got some problems there. And we certainly have some issues with the way the tax structure has worked over time. And so that's why you've heard a lot of discussion about do we have a constitutional convention or not. That scares me to some degree as it relates to basic liberties that I think we do a pretty good job with. It sometimes surprises people to find out that Woody Jenkins was the chief architect of the Bill of Rights in Louisiana, and it's a good document. We don't really need to fool with that. But on the taxation side, exemption side, the sheer size of the document, I wouldn't be opposed to a limited constitutional convention. I think we could do some good things as far as making Louisiana more business-friendly and not so much have the reputation of everybody standing around with their hand out.
877-217-5757 for Senator Claytor and Representative Carter. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, Representative Carter, did that North Carolina governor in promoting the triangle with Duke, UNC, and North Carolina State face a legislature beholden to a no new taxes no matter what ideology of Grover Norquist?
can't answer that question. It's 25 or 30 years ago. But I do know that he went into office saying that this is what I'm going to do, and he did it. And they worked together, the legislature and the governor. And, you know, if you want to look at other states, I mean, North Carolina is pretty good with Duke, North Carolina State, and the other institutions that they have there. And but I can't answer that question. It's 30 years ago.
Well, John White, the superintendent of education you mentioned, he's noted, and I'm sure he knows his numbers, that Louisiana high school students actually have higher ACT scores than the kids in North Carolina, believe it or not. But North Carolina has a superior higher education system, and there are those who point a finger at Governor Jindal. Does he share the blame, or maybe is he the reason for the blame for us falling behind other states?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, in my opinion. I think we have too many universities, for one, you know, because, I mean, we're a very small state and 4.5 million people, and our budget is not as large as a lot of other a lot of other states. And so when you spread the dollars out, and we're a poor state, the institutions, because we have so many, you know, are diluted to a certain degree. That's just my theory.
Dan, that's absolutely true. You look at the numbers, and when you my second term, when we were looking at reducing the number of universities based on their performance, even terribly sub-performers couldn't be eliminated or cut or merged because every one of these universities are really job generators as much as they are educational institutions. And so what side of the coin are you looking at on that? So there's very little will to consolidate any of the universities.
Mallory and Kenilworth asked the two of you to rate the two governors you worked with, Jindal and Edwards. What do you give them?
Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, Governor Jindal got a bad rap in certain situations. I mean, I know that I'm not happy with the way, and I voted with him on the budget and what have you. I'm not happy the way we, you know, put our budget together and eliminated a number of programs and stuff. But on the flip side, from an educational standpoint, particularly K-12, I thought he did a great job. I mean, I think we needed to do the things that he needed to do. We had a couple of bills that came through that consolidated some stuff and did some stuff that was necessary. We raised standards, and we did a lot of good stuff. So from his first term, I thought he did a pretty good job. His second term, I'll never forget when he came in, and Dan, you may remember this, and he had Tim Barfield, and he also had Stephen Morey working on trying to eliminate the state income tax. He was going to completely restructure our tax base and what have you, and everybody's pretty excited about it and wanted to hear about it. And he walked in and said, I've decided to park the idea. I'm not going to do it. So what does he do? He turns around and runs for, you know, president. And so the second term was a non-entity. He wasn't around, and we didn't have the leadership, and it ended up in a total frustration for everybody. And, of course, John Bell took it and ran with it, and now he's our two-term governor.
Well, what do you think of his first term?
Again, I like John Bell. We've served together in the House together.
Came
he's
in
a
together.
Great guy, and came in together. And again, as I said before, and I know he's under a tough situation simply because of the structure of the two houses and what have you. But I think that he could do a better job with some areas, like for instance, education, where I'm passionate about. When I used to go to conferences and you had a badge on it said you were from Louisiana, people would swarm to you and say, "Man, I wish our state could do the things that y'all are doing. Y'all are progressive and you're making a lot of changes, and you ought to be proud of your state." Now we don't hear that because we're treading water. And I wish you would do more from an educational standpoint and a lot of things that I think that we could do a little bit better job with. I think his heart's in the right place. I think he's a great, you know, great guy. I think he handled the adversities of the shootings here in Baton Rouge and the weather situations, what have you, marvelously. But I just think that there's some things that we could do that we can improve the state a little bit better.
Senator?
Kind of picking up where Steve is leaving off, nobody handles a emergency better than Jindal as far as rattling off the numbers and how many crates of water we have and things of that sort. So as far as a crisis management guy, I thought he did pretty well. But I'm going to go with the Google rating system, which is 5 stars of being the best. I would give Like Steve, I would give Jindal, he didn't give a number, but I'd give him a 3 on his first term. On
3 out of 5.
And on the second term, since he was absent, I'd give him a 2. And the only reason I'm giving him a 2 is that on the last day, he agreed to go with the transparency bill that Robert Adley and I had been going with the whole time. And it was effective for only the next governor, but I thought it was important that...
All right, and Governor Edwards?
Governor Edwards, I'll give him a 3.
A 3 for his one term?
Yes.
And my guess, I'm just guessing, you're both Republicans, you probably did not vote for Edwards.
Which time? No, I did not. I'll admit that I didn't with John Bell.
And Dan Clater?
Yeah, it's a private vote, but no, I did not vote. Well, for him. For I him. Voted. I did but not vote not for him. Him.
And no. I voted also.
877-217-5757. We'll return with Dan Clater and Steve Carter with more Talk Louisiana after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Two gentlemen tied to Baton Rouge for the last 12 years, tied to Baton Rouge as lawmakers, and now they will be private citizens at least for a while until further notice, but both have great involvement in our community, and they are here to take your questions. Senator Dan Clater and Representative Steve Carter. As we have noted, Steve Carter came within an eyelash of making a runoff, which he almost certainly would have won based on the 58% to 42% victory by Franklin Foyle over Beverly Brooks Thompson. 877-217-5757 to talk with Clater and Carter. And a reminder that this is Giving Tuesday. We'd like to hear from you. We certainly treasure your support. And if you have not contributed this year, this is an opportunity to do so. And you can call 855-893-9753. Year-end gift of $150 or more gets you a choice to receive the Orange WRKF and Morning Edition 40th Anniversary mugs as your thank you gift. 893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. And WRKF.org is available 24 hours a day. Our number is 877-217-5757. Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on Talk Louisiana with Steve Carter and Dan Clater. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. Jim, I've got a question for both of you representatives there. What I would like to know is how a conservative Republican can continue to have the state owe $10 billion in unaccrued liabilities, pay $900 million a year in interest rates, and not do something about it.
All right.
I'll answer that. So as it relates to the money that was coming from the BP settlement, I originally put 10% of that to go towards the unfunded accrued liability when I knew there was going to be a big fight about where that money went. And some of that money got taken away in the latest process of dealing with the budget. But he is absolutely correct that the unfunded accrued liability is a big issue. Barrow Peacock in the Senate retirement system has been doing things to prop up the system and make it more sustainable. But it's not a sexy thing to talk about. It's not roads. It's not crime. It's not something else. But I do agree with the gentleman. It will be a crime if we don't continue to address
it. It's kind of like talking about the federal deficit.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
But we've made real strides in it, believe it or not, over the course of the term that I've been in there.
Okay, Renee and Bunky. Renee, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, gentlemen. If I had this idea, we heard a lot about tort reform during the last election, and Mr. Rasponi spoke about trial lawyers, and he works in the construction business, especially in the chemical business, chemical plants. If we were to take away some of these tax credits that all these chemical companies get for expansion and all that, but go through tort reform to lower their insurance premiums, we may be able to spend a little bit more money, collect a little bit more taxes, spend a little bit more money on education, and spend a little bit more money on roads.
Steve? Carter?
Well, it's a complicated issue, to be honest with you. And I'm all for tort reform. I don't know the solution, I don't know whether it should be capped at 5,000 or 15,000 or whatever it might be. Dan's in a better position to talk about it than I am. But I do know that we have to solve the problem some way. But I'm not so sure. And I sat on the Transportation Committee when they brought the bill that said that the trial lawyers with the billboard bill saying that they had to limit what they could do and what have you. I don't know, and Dan, I'd be interested to hear what your comment would be. I'm not so sure that by doing, you know, the advertising that they have and the billboards and amount that they do on TV and what have you would necessarily lower insurance premiums. I'm not sure exactly what the solution is on it. Our roads are bad, and that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. We're a fun state where we drink a lot, and I'm sure that that's part of the problem too. Texting is part of a problem. You got a lot of problems. And so I'm not sure the exact answer, but I appreciate the question.
Yeah, and Steve, you're going down the path, but, you know, since Shakespeare's time and before, everybody hates lawyers, kill all the lawyers first, and that it's a rally cry that that's what's wrong with America. Same thing with other classes of businesses or people that we want to say that they're the demons. Where insurance premiums actually have gone down, if you ask Jim Donlan, that they have gone down to some degree. But the issues that you pointed out, we drink and drive, we have poor roads, we have texting, and we don't really have a test to speak of as far as whether you could drive or not. I know there's a minimum standard, but you wonder who gave the driver's license out on some of these issues. So it's no one single thing, but if the folks believe that lowering the jury threshold to some number below 50 would be good, I think almost everybody is for that. That you could, Texas, they have it as a zero, but you have to recognize that if you lower the jury threshold to zero, your trial date is going to be very far off there in the future, that you have to build out some of these courtrooms that don't have a jury box for them in there. So it's no one single issue, and I agree with Steve. Let's see the evidence that the things that will be done will actually lower the jury threat, will actually lower the premium.
All right. Well, Representative Carter, with some political danger, called for a gas tax a few years ago. He had a bill, and you couldn't get it through the hoops. You had a majority, but you needed two-thirds. Before we get to him, did you support that?
The gas tax, it never came to our side.
Would you have supported it?
Well, that's probably in this area. There were some different ways that it was put together to where it would potentially be a local vote. And so more often than not, I don't oppose people voting for whether or not they want to tax themselves or not.
But as far as you voting for a tax, that's something lawmakers just don't want to be tagged with.
Well, no, I have voted for taxes that were necessary. I think almost everybody voted for the increase in the sales tax to balance Louisiana's budget. We didn't want to do that, but it was applied uniformly. Everybody pays. Mm-hmm. There's no exception to it except for limited drugs and things of that sort.
Well, the first gasoline tax that I introduced was in 17, and that bill, to be honest with you, was not as good a bill as the one in 2019, but 2019 was an election year, so I wish I had a chance to flip them, and I would have had the 2019 bill in 17 because it was a very good bill. And what it basically did was it took the gasoline tax and it phased it in, but it took half of the gasoline tax and put it into a subfund. And the subfund could only be used for construction, maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. And so now the way it's structured is your gasoline tax goes into the transportation trust fund that's used for retirement, salaries, benefits, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to eliminate that. And so I thought it was a very good bill. One of the things I'm going to step on some toes here that I have a problem with is DOTD, and DOTD has its own operation simply because the gasoline tax funds DOTD, the Department of Transportation. It does not have to come justify what it's doing to appropriations or go through the process. Well, this bill would have said, okay, if you need additional money, you have to come in front of the legislature, which I thought was healthy and good. So I thought it was a good bill. If I got beat on that, I don't care. because it's the right thing to do. And even though it was controversial, it's necessary for our state. We haven't done anything in 30 years, and we need to have done something.
And in Steve's defense on that, when you pass a Prius or something else in traffic and these electric cars, how much tax are they paying for the privilege to drive on the road? Zero. But as far as the voting public is concerned, I think we all just got our property tax bills, and we flip it to the backside, and we look at that and Ooh. Go, my God. Ooh. And so there's not much of an appetite for any kind of tax whatsoever when you feel like you're not getting your money's worth for what you're already paying.
Very good point.
Marie in Baton Rouge writes to talk at talklouisiana.org. The challenge legislators outside of Baton Rouge have always been resistant to support universities not in their district. What can LSU do to connect with rural areas to get more support so Louisiana can have education attractive to Fortune 500 companies?
I'm going to jump in first and then hand it over to Steve. She's absolutely correct in that when I would talk about LSU and supporting the flagship university, I would frequently hear from rural legislators, I ain't got no LSU where I come from. And I would have to say, yes, indeed you do. You got the Ag Extension Service, and LSU is everywhere, and you have alumni there. And so that was frustrating to educate them on that issue.
Well, the interesting thing, too, back when it was a number of virtually 50, 60% of the legislators graduated from LSU. If you look at it now, there are not nearly as many people graduating from LSU in the legislature as they have been in the past. So the loyalty is not totally there. You've got to go work it very, very hard to ensure, because as we talked about earlier, virtually every area of the state has has an institution of higher learning, and you've got legislators in there that have to protect them. So it's difficult. It isn't that easy.
And the way the learning environment's going to be 20 years from now, I don't know how much bricks and mortar are going to continue to be there. And so, unfortunately, I think as a people, we've made a decision that we're just going to let the competitive process dictate who makes it and who doesn't. But I think there's going to be some failures before too awful long, and that's a relative number, but I think that's part of where we're headed.
877-217-5757. We're going to take a short break and return with Dan Clater and Steve Carter. Tracy at the Capitol notes that LSU often fares better when the governor is an LSU graduate, too, and I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. But both candidates in the runoff were LSU graduates, Eddie Rasponi and John Bell Edwards. But think about it, Mike Foster, when he was governor, LSU did very well. Of course, it was a good economic time, too. 877-217-5757. We're back with Clater and Carter after this short pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. This one is from Holly in the Garden District about criminal justice reform, which the governor took some heat for in the campaign. But I think Dan Clater in particular, one of our guests along with Steve Carter, was involved with this to some degree. What's your thinking on how it has worked?
Well, before John Bell was governor, Louisiana led the country, the free world, and the not free world with incarcerating more people than anyone. And part of the discussion that I would have with folks when they came to the committee was, how much justice can you afford? And they would look at me and go, that is a ridiculous question. But there is a cost associated with all of that. And so I think that we've done a good thing from my point of view in the criminal justice reinvestment. I don't call it criminal justice reform. It's reinvestment in the people and in the system. And we were talking about Mr. Leger, Representative Leger. He had part of the bill that said that the savings go back into the system. Now, there can be leakage and all that stuff, and we could do better. But the criminal justice reinvestment did not turn out to be wholesale, open the gates, and let every evil person back on the streets.
Well, Steve Carter, do you think it's been a net plus or not?
I think it still is. We're having to look at it a little bit. I'm like what Dan had to say. I want to make sure that there is no leakage and that the dollars that – what I was sold on was that the dollars are going to go back into the system to try to make sure that these youngsters, when they get out, that they're ready to go back into the workforce and what have you. And it was going to do a lot of education work within the system. I assume that's going on. I haven't followed it that close, but on paper, it was the right thing to do. I just hope we're doing the things that we said we were going to do to try to make sure that people are prepared to get back into the workforce.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Still time to get in under the wire with Senator Claytor and Representative Carter. Mike at St. Regis. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, Mr. Carter. Calling on your statement a while back on the Fortune 500 shops potentially coming into Louisiana. I'm from Ohio, and I see the problem with the Fortune 500 shops coming into Louisiana is the fact that they can't get around. I think as soon as some of these representatives from the 500 companies around the country come into the Louisiana, or the particularly the Baton Rouge situation and New Orleans situation, once they get in the 3 o'clock traffic, hell, they can't get around.
Yeah, I love it. You're absolutely correct. But let me, in fact, the reason I thought about this, I would go to a tennis tournament in Cincinnati, Ohio, every year, and Cincinnati is a great city, but it's no different than Baton Rouge or New Orleans or really Shreveport. And yet you turn around in just Cincinnati. I may be wrong because I made the fact that comment that they had five Fortune 500 companies, and someone said that Baton Rouge had gone there and they had seven or eight just in Cincinnati. That made me think, if Cincinnati can get seven or eight, why can't Louisiana get one or two? But you're absolutely right. There's some things that we have to correct and change and make improvements in education, not only education but infrastructure and a number of other things to attract these companies. But you got to think big. You got to hope, because I think it's the right thing to do for our state is to try to attract some businesses like that to come to our great state.
Yeah, and I would just echo what Steve's saying. I get complaints from people where their workforce lives in Baton Rouge or Ascension or Livingston, and they can't get across the bridge to get to Dow and the plants over there, and they have difficulties with that. So I agree they can't get around.
877-217-5757 is your number. Gail, I just disconnected you. I was about to go to Gail, so if you call back, we'll put you ahead of the pack. I do have an email from Brooks Elwood, professor at LSU. He says, one of your guests was complaining about trash along the roads and how states with Republican governors managed to get rid of those sorts of eyesores, whereas he implied that our governor doesn't bother. Our Republican legislature, writes Brooks, keeps mandating that all state employees must spend hours every year doing online training in areas like ethics, sexual harassment, and others. Every year, the same things, those hours spent, are done at the workplace. And if you take into account everyone in the state doing this, designing them, monitoring them, et cetera, there must be millions of dollars wasted on this enterprise, and nothing changes. We could spend those millions picking up trash along our roads, writes Brooks Elwood.
Love you, Brooks. You're right.
Well, I would disagree to some extent in that anybody that's been a victim of sexual harassment would probably very much appreciate that we're raising folks conscious.
I'm with you on that, Dan Claytor. Gail in River Bend, but we should be cleaning up the trash too. Gail in River Bend, good morning. You're on Talk
Long
Louisiana.
List of wants.
Good morning, Jim. I have a question on the industrial tax exemption program. I think that with that program, Louisiana is very generous to the business community and provides an economic climate that is very favorable to business. And my question is, why are we giving millions of dollars to international billionaire corporations when we really that have been here for decades?
I think she might be referring to one in this community.
Well, the tax credit that you're talking about, I understand the intent. I understand what's going on with it. But the problem is the process of a business coming to Louisiana to get the credits right now. They've got to go through a two or three hoop process, and I think it needs to change. I understand the intent, but I think that, you know, if you go look at areas, everybody gives stuff away. I mean, that's the only way you can attract these businesses because it's unbelievably competitive. And I understand that you don't want to, and Dan used the term earlier, assuming that there's no leakage and assuming that these contracts that they're signing with these people to get these credits, that they're living up to the number of people that they're bringing in to employ, the things that they're doing to improve their surrounding areas or whatever it might be that's in that contract that they're doing, then, you know, you're in competition with the New Yorks, the Virginias, the North Carolinas, the Californias or whatever to bring these businesses in here. And if we don't think bigger and we don't figure out ways to attract businesses, we always relied on oil and gas. And oil and gas is struggling right now. We've got to find ways to diversify. And that's the only thing that I'm trying to do is to at least stir the pot a little bit to find other ways that we can utilize the natural resources we have in this state. We've got unbelievable natural resources. Not very many people have a Mississippi River. Not very many people have the things that we have going for us.
A couple of items I'd like to get to in our remaining time, and we'll try to get to at least one more caller. This is Craig in Naples, Florida, listening online, obviously, says, I buried the lead that I haven't asked any questions about Lane Grigsby. Obviously, the two of you are on opposite sides of him, and I thought J.R. Ball wrote a very impassioned defense of Lane Grigsby in the Baton Rouge Business Report. Steve, has he gotten a bad rap, or has he gotten what he deserves?
I think he's gotten a bad rap. I think I was shocked that J.R. did what he did. I mean, I applaud him for it. J.R. and I are very close friends. I thought he wrote an excellent article. I think more and more people need to get involved in the process. Lane is definitely involved in the process. He's passionate about people that he supports, and I think that J.R. hit the nail on the head.
I think you would you say you assume or it's obvious that we're on different sides, but I've been friendly with Lane Grigsby for a long time. His wife was my older brother's school teacher.
But you're the one who said that he offered something to Franklin Foyle.
Yeah, that was, in my mind, potentially illegal, and I'm not backing away from that at all. But I'm not saying Lane Grigsby's an evil, bad man at every turn, that he's done some good things, and he participates, and he puts his money where his mouth is. But on that particular issue, I'm not backing away from that.
Okay. Sabash at the Country Club. Sabash, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Please be brief.
Good morning, Mr. Engster. I am hoping that I heard him right, your guest, saying that the only way to attract businesses or corporations is to give them tax credits. And if it is true, I don't think it is the only way. In fact, that is has been practiced only for redistributing wealth from commoners to billionaire corporations.
All right. What about, is it the only way or is it a way?
It's a way. I mean, and it's an important way.
And other states do it?
To my knowledge, they do. I don't know of any that don't.
We compete with all the southern states on those issues that have somewhat similar geography. But I do want to kind of backtrack to Gail's question, which is, when I first came to the legislature, I wasn't really familiar with the Board of Business and Industry and what they did and how they handed out those credits. I went to a couple of meetings, observed what was going on. I asked some members of the legislature, what do you think about this credit or that credit or this company getting it or that company getting it? And they looked at me baffled, didn't understand why I would be asking them. So I immediately filed a bill to put two legislators from each chamber on the board so that they couldn't deny that they didn't know what was going on and that it does need review, it does need looking at. And there needs to be some sense to the way that it's applied. But at the same time, we cannot pull the rug out from industry as far as change the rules in the middle of the game.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in today. Always good to see Senator Plater and Representative Carter. And a reminder that there is time throughout the day to participate in Giving Tuesday and contribute to WRKF 855-893-9753. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.